title of this morning's Fixer Upper. Fixer Upper. You know, when I was young and more broke, I only could afford used cars. And when you're younger and you only can afford used cars, it's okay if you're a mechanic and you know how to fix used cars, right? But if you don't know how to fix used cars, it's a little bit more beneficial if you could afford slightly a newer car, which lasts a little bit longer. Fixer upper, fixer upper. Turn to your neighbor and say fixer upper. And in thinking about being a fixer upper this morning, many of us, sometimes it's how we view life. The funny thing is, honestly, that's how we view other people's lives. You're the fixer upper. I'm already clean and shiny, baby. I'm all ready to go. But if you ever pay attention to the way that we talk and listen about each other, it's honestly funny how we view each other and one another. And most of the time, let's be honest, when you hear conversations, it's not, I'm the fixer-upper, it's, you're the fixer-upper, and God needs to fix you. This morning, today, it's going to be the last day. We've been in this thought and series called Through the Wilderness, where the Jewish community, they waited a long time to get to the place of promise. And so today we finish the story and thought. If you have your Bibles with me, we're going to go to John chapter 8. We're going to start in verse 1. Fixer upper. Fixer, 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 fixer upper. Joshua 1:8, 8:1. Then the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid or discouraged. Take all your fighting men and attack Ai, for I have given you the king of Ai, his people, his town, his land. You will destroy them as you destroy Jericho and its king. By this time you may keep the plunder and the livestock for yourselves. Set an ambush behind the town. So Joshua and all the fighting men set out to attack Ai. Joshua chose 30,000 of his best warriors and sent them out with these at night with these orders. Hide in ambush, close behind the town, and be ready for action. Verse 5. When our main army attacks, the men of Ai will come out to fight as they did before, and we will run away from them. We will let them chase us until we have drawn them away from the town. For they will say, the Israelites are running away from us as they did before. Then, while we're running from them, you will jump up from your ambush, take possession of the town, for the Lord your God will give it to you. Set the town on fire as the Lord had commanded. You have your orders. So they left and went to the place of ambush between Bethel and the west side of Ai. Joshua remained among the people in the camp that night. Verse 10. Early the next morning, Joshua roused his men and started towards Ai, accompanied by the elders of Israel. All the fighting men who were with Joshua marched in front of the town and camped on the north side of Ai, with a valley between them and the town. That night, Joshua sent about 5,000 men to lie in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the town. They stationed the main army north of the town in the ambush west of the town. Joshua himself spent the night in the valley. Verse 14, when the king of Ai saw the Israelites cross the valley, he and all his army hurried out early in the morning and attacked the Israelites at the place overlooking the Jordan Valley. But he didn't realize there was an ambush behind the town. Joshua and the Israelite army fled toward the wilderness as though they were badly beaten. Then all the men in the town were called out to chase after them. In this way, they were lured away from the town. There was not a man left in Ai or Bethel who did not chase after the Israelites, and the town was left wide open. Verse 18. The Lord said to Joshua, point the spear in your hand towards Ai, for I will hand the town over to you. Joshua did as he was commanded. As soon as Joshua gave this signal, all the men in ambush jumped up from their position, poured into the town, quickly captured it, and set it on fire. When the men of Ai looked behind them, smoke from the town was filling the sky, and they had nowhere to go. The Israelites, who had fled in the direction of the wilderness, now turned on their pursuers. Verse 21, Joshua and all the other Israelites saw that the ambush had succeeded and that the smoke was rising from the town. They turned and attacked the men of Ai. Meanwhile, the Israelites who were inside the town came out and attacked the enemy from the rear. So the men of Ai were caught in the middle with Israelite fighters on both sides. Israel attacked them, and not a single person survived or escaped. crazy story this morning. If you were here last week and you saw last week's story, it was the defeat, the men of Ai defeated the Israelites. The week before that, the men of Israel defeated the town of Jericho. How did they defeat the town of Jericho? God told them, you're not going to go out with your bazookas and your cannons and your tanks this time. You're going to go out around the city and you're going to march with trumpets. You're going to march with the Ark of the Covenant. You're going to walk around the city for 6 days, once a day. On the seventh day, you're going to walk around seven times. You're going to blow the horns. You're going to shout. The walls come tumbling down and you rush the city. They had a massive defeat of the city of Jericho. Secondly, they get into the city of Jericho. God said to them, don't take a thing. Certain things belong to go to the house of God. Don't take anything for yourself. There was one man. Turn to your neighbor and say, yes, it's always one man who screws it up. One man who saw a fancy robe, saw silver and gold, kind of like me seeing that $160 in the ground, grabbed it, took it, went home, buried it in his tent. He took what didn't belong to him. And because of one man's sin, 36 men died. Because of one man's sin, this man caused Israel to be defeated by Ai. They didn't pray. They didn't seek God. They didn't ask for help. They just went out. They thought they're going to go take on Ai just like they did Jericho. No problem. We got this. And they were defeated. But they were defeated because of sin. And they were defeated because one man sinned. And one man sinned. The problem with sin is it doesn't just affect us. It affects everybody in the neighborhood. It affects everybody in the neighborhood. One person's sin can affect every single person that is in your life directly and indirectly. Sin is a killer. Sin destroys. Sin hurts people. All through the Bible, beginning and end, sin is bad. So what did they do? They got rid of the sin. They dumped the sin. They got rid of the rebellion. They got rid of the stuff that was stolen. And then God spoke, and he speaks to Joshua, and he gives us this plan. And you know what I love about this? This is crazy. He gives him a very specific battle plan, not complicated, easy to understand. I, God, will give you victory. This is what you need to do. And so for this community, we see that they've been through the wilderness. For this community, they've been through the wilderness. They spent 39 years in the wilderness traveling, circling, being hungry, being thirsty, fighting, beating each other up, wrestling in the mud. I don't know. Sounds fun. They spent 39 years. They were afraid. They were worried. They were rebellious. But you know what the biggest thought of 39 years was? I want to go back to Egypt. I'd rather be a slave. This morning in our opening text, we read about a guy who for 38 years was sick. What was the first question Jesus asked him? Do you want to be made well? They spent 39 years complaining and arguing. And what? I want to go back. I like my old self. I like how I used to be when I was 15, but now I'm 30. I don't like how I am 30. I'd rather be 15. I don't like the town I live in now. I like the town I lived in 20 years ago. Have you noticed we as people, our mindset sometimes can always go, I want to go back. And so this constant thought and complaint of going back spiraled them through the wilderness for 39 years. And they get into their place of promise. And how many of us know sometimes life, no matter how perfect we want it to be, how many of us have ever been around weddings? And how many of us have seen people who spend days and moments and so many time planning wedding days because they have to be what? Perfect. And then how many of us have seen one perfect wedding? There's always some kind of hiccup. There's always some kind of in-law who gets crazy, right? There's always something that goes wacky, a sibling, a brother, a cousin. There's always something that goes wrong, no matter how much time people put into making the perfect moment. Sometimes this is how we plan our life. We want our life to be spotless and clean and perfect. And even for the Jewish community, when they got into the place of promise, this was something that they were told. Can you imagine being told over and over and over again, this is for you. This is perfect. It's beautiful. It's got all the bells and whistles, milk, honey, all the things that you would need. everything. But just because they finally got there did not mean that life was perfect. They still had to remember the morals, the character, everything that they'd learned in the past that taught them, the lessons that they went through so that they continued to thrive in this place of promise. For me, it's sad because how many of us see friends and family who live just hard, defeated lives at times? How many of us know people, it seems like everything that they do sometimes and everything that they go through is hard. You know, 1 out of 25 people deal with mental toughness. 3 out of 10 people deal with depression. 52% of Americans feel lonely today. 1 out of 25 deal with mental tough issues. 3 out of 10 deal with depression. 52% of Americans say they feel lonely. So that's 1 out of 2 people in our planet in America who said they feel lonely. There are people, there are Americans, there are people in this planet who are living and feeling a defeated life. For the Jewish community, we see defeat and we see victory. And the reasons for being defeated, we know what they were: sin, rebellion, and ignoring God. And if we do those things too, if we choose sin, if we choose to be rebellious, and if we choose to ignore God, we're going to live defeated lives as well. No matter sometimes how much we want to ignore the truth, its truth is the only thing that sets us free. And it is a choice that God gives us every single day. You can be defeated or you can have the victory that I promise and that I have for you. Do you want victory or do you want defeat? Jesus, remember one question he had for the man 38 years? Are you sure you want to get well? Because there's people who don't want to get well. They want to be defeated. They want to live lonely. Sometimes when you live lonely all your life, you get used to it, right? There's people who have mental, 1 out of 25 people have mental issues. You get used to thoughts that drag you down in your brain. 3 out of 10 people deal with depression. So many people get stuck. The biggest issues that people face in America, number one is the mental health issues that people have. Self-esteem, having a hard time communicating. How many people in our world, they know what they want to say. They're feeling it. They just don't know how to communicate it properly. Grief, mental, physical fog. Academic, financial stress. I don't know if you felt that before. And a big one that bothers people today that make them feel defeated: I don't feel the amount of money I make is fair compared to the amount of money you make. There's many people in our world. These are the struggles. These are the things that cause people to feel defeated today. Mental health stuff, self-esteem, unable to communicate, so much grief in my life. I have a fog mentally, and I feel like I'm walking in fog all the time, a physical fog all the time, academic or financial stress, and it just bothers me every single day. And it just bothers me that I don't make as much as you. These are the things that bother Americans today. Defeated. And so many people today live in a defeated life. And the sad thing and the tragic thing is, see, spiritually, many people, we're feeling like this is the life we're living, man. We are living it up. We are on easy street. I'm living good. Spiritually, this is how I look. But sometimes, that's not how it really is. Sometimes, no matter how good we think and feel we are, there's some stuff in the trunk we haven't dealt with, and it's causing the house to collapse. So for the Jewish community, they learned a few things along the way. And for us, as the same in our lives, there's probably a few things that we've learned along the way. And the first thing is, I have to continue to believe. You know, every morning you wake up and there's, every one of us, we have habits and things that we do every single day. And the first thing that we have to do as believers to have those keys to living a life in victory every single day, it starts with faith. It starts with believing. believing that what I see, it was created out of nothing. God says, I spoke in Genesis 1. I spoke the world, God, into existence. The stars, the sun, the moon, light. God is the creator. It starts with faith in God. It starts by believing. Everything starts with believing. And once you believe, as that believing, as faith grows in every one of us, it should cause what? A response. I can say I love you, but if I don't ever do anything nice for you, if I ignore you, if I shoo you away, does it seem like I love you? Absolutely not. If we say we love God, what is the response with our love to God? What do? Church is a great example. Tithes and offerings, that's one way. Man, I give because I love God in response to my faith. When I'm out at work, when I'm at home, or I'm in town, I give. I take care of the homeless in the community. I give and I help people. I tell people about God. I tell people about Jesus. I tell people Jesus is the living hope. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I tell people Jesus is the resurrection and the life. I tell people Jesus is the only one who can honestly heal these broken bodies. I tell people the good news. I tell Jesus in response all to my faith. Second key that we see the Jewish people learned in this community is learning to wait for God's direction. They took down Jericho, walls that were tall, walls that were wide, by simply marching. Secondly, they went into a battle that God didn't give them any direction for, and they lost it badly. Their third battle in the Promised Land, God then gives them specific battle instructions. And what happens? They walk out with victory in their hands. God told them, you're going to set an ambush. You're going to walk in the front, but then those who walk in the front are going to run away. There's going to be people around the backside, and they're going to hide. And when the men chase those run away, you're going to go in and you're going to take the land. God gave them, this happened thousands of years ago, and God has given these men in the story, in the army, very clear-cut battle instructions. How many of us, every single day, could be faced with a bill we can't pay? How many of us know someone who's sick, who doesn't seem like they're ever going to be made well? How many of us deal? We know all the defeated Americans and what they're going through with depression, anxiety, and mental issues. How many people do we know that are suicidal? We have no idea that they're even suicidal. How many of us living and facing tough situations and know somebody? It's a guaranteed fact. Someone in our direct circle in life that we're going to see is facing something. But if we don't learn to wait and listen for God's battle plans, it's hard to be that person. It's hard to give someone an answer when you're not waiting and listening for God to give it to you. We saw Jesus heal a man who was sick for 38 years. He didn't have to pray for 5-10 minutes. He didn't have to do a dance. He didn't need to walk around in a circle, do anything funny. What do you do? Be healed. Bam. Done. Healed instantly. If we could learn to wait and listen for God's direction, we could be a lot more helpful to people in our lives. God's battle plan. We know Isaiah 55:9. God says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. God has so many words and thoughts that are bigger, that are grander, that are ginormous compared to the ones that we can think and even in our own head. Look at us. How many of us have become trained and skilled in learning how to do something? We've become mature adults. We're all mature and we're so smart and intelligent. But even with as much as we've learned in our lives, could any one of us this morning walk up to a person with cancer and just know how to cure them instantly? Only God can. Only God can. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. And so some of the keys that they've learned in the Jewish community is I have to wait on God. I must wait. I need to learn for His direction. The story after their second victory takes a fun turn. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 9, starting in verse 3. When the people of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to the Jericho and Ai, they resorted to deception. Ooh. Turn to your neighbor and say, I hope you don't ever turn to deception. To save themselves, they sent ambassadors to Joshua, loading their donkeys, weathered saddlebags, old patched wineskins. They put on worn out patched sandals, ragged clothes. They and the bread that they took with them was dry and moldy. When they arrived at the camp of Israel, Gilgal, they told Joshua and the men of Israel, "We've come from a distant land. Can you please make peace and a peace treaty with us?" We're going to skip down to verse 12. "This bread, you could see it was hot from the ovens when we left our homes, but now you can see it was dry and moldy. These wineskins were new when we filled them, but now they were old and split open. Our clothing and sandals were worn out from a very long journey. The Israelites examined their food." But, this is a big verse. Turn there and say, this is a big but right here. "Israelites examined their food, but they did not consult the Lord. And Joshua made a peace treaty with them, guaranteeing their safety, and the leaders of the community ratified their agreement with a binding oath." They defeat the people of Ai. As soon as they defeat the people of Ai, guess what happens? The neighbors get scared. They're going to come after us next. So what this is they do? They turned to deception. You know how many people on our planet turn to deception today? You know how many people turn to manipulation and control? How many people on our planet turn because I have to protect my life at all costs, so I will deceive someone to protect myself. I will manipulate and control to protect myself. These men in the story, they found old bread. They got the oldest stuff that they had. And it's kind of like there are people in our community, believe it or not, who dress in older clothes and go on the streets and beg for money. There are people who are out there and they want to deceive us so that we give them money. There's people who make $1,000 a day standing on the street. It's a good job, right? You make $1,000 a day. How many of us agree? $1,000 a day, it's not bad. But some of them do it deceitfully, wanting to deceive other people so that they can try and better themselves. And it's a common trait, unfortunately, in human nature that goes back a long, long time. I'm going to deceive you so that I can protect or take care of myself. We have to be careful and guard our thought life at all times, because at any given point in time, we can turn to be a deceitful person. We could turn and do something and lie. Last Sunday, I could have took and swooped up that $160, and everybody asked me, I have no idea what you're talking about. Sometimes we go through places and we're given extra food. Again, hallelujah. So there's times I've walked out of Walmart and I've not paid for stuff. And then I go back in, I'm like, I forgot to pay for this. What? What are you doing? Why? Why didn't pay for it? And I need to pay for it. God watches, even though we don't think sometimes others are watching. Just because you might end up with an extra burrito in your pack does not mean that that burrito was for you. Just because you end up with an extra $500 that was on the ground doesn't mean that it belongs to you. Sometimes we take because we think it's there for the taking. God watches your heart. And God watches every single thing that we do in every single situation. Do they lie? Do they cheat? Do they steal? Are they continuing to have high moral and character no matter where they go and no matter what they do? Do they ask for forgiveness? Because all of us are broken. We all make mistakes. No matter how good and perfect and clean we think we are, we're all broken. We all make mistakes. And we must say, God, forgive me, I screwed up, and get back up. God, forgive me, I screwed up, and get back up again. Jesus said in Matthew, similar to what we just read, Matthew 7:15, Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets that come disguised as harmless sheep, But really, they're vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit. That is, by the way they act. You can pick, can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit. A bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit. And a bad tree can't produce good fruit. Every tree that does not produce good fruit, it's chopped down and it's thrown in the fire. Just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, you can identify people by their actions. So the men in the story in Joshua, because they were afraid for themselves and their families, they turned to deception. Because they turned to deception, you know what became of them and their ancestors? They became slaves. They became slaves because they lied and they deceived people for the rest of their days, for a long period of time. They were slaves and they had to serve and they had to be at the bottom because they lied and deceived others. Jesus said, we know people by the fruit. And I don't know about you, but sometimes we as people, we like people who their house looks so clean and shiny and the way that they talk, it sounds so clean and shiny. But really, honestly, if you were to look at their house, it doesn't look so nice. There's many people who put on the image. We want to put on the image. I look right. I dress right. I sound right. The image. Jesus said, you know people by their fruit. What was the fruit that Jesus had when he was here? Let's see. He sacrificed his life. He served people. He got down on the ground and washed stinky feet. Jesus loved and was compassionate to lost, broken, hurting people. Jesus gave. That's the fruit that Jesus said to the disciples, follow me, that I want you to have. That's the same fruit that he wants us to have. How do we make a difference in the world that we live in? We follow in the footsteps of Jesus. How do we make a difference everywhere that we go and everything that we do? How do I make a difference? I have to follow in the footsteps of my Maker. I have to follow in the footsteps of the one who created me and gives me life. I have to follow in the footsteps of the one who died and bore his life on a cross, Jesus Christ, who was whipped and beaten and tortured and became the sacrifice for my sins so that I can go to heaven, so that I can get out scot-free, so that I can be clean and whole. Jesus was whipped and tortured so that my body can be made whole and healthy. This is the one that I should follow after. This is the one that I am meant to follow after. But Jesus said, you know by their fruit. What kind of fruit does your life produce? What kind of things do people say about you? What are the things? When we think about fruit, there's oranges, pears, apples, bananas. Apples and bananas, I like to eat. There's so many things. Fruity fruit that we like to eat. It's considered somewhat healthy. Strawberries. But it's not important to know what fruit I like to eat. It's what kind of fruit am I producing? What am I producing? And there's days, like all of you, I have bad days, and I produce some bad fruit. My kids see me being angry and mean and grouchy. And there's other days where it's good days, and they know that Dad is a good man and a great dad, right? Just like all of us in here, we have good days and we have bad days. But overall, what is the fruit that is produced from my life? And that is one of the greatest questions. The Jewish community, as we see, they got through the wilderness into the place of promise. Why? Why? All their lives, their whole story, the Bible, is so that we today could have the good news. God picked them, and they're special, absolutely. God picked them to be a people to show the world who he is. And because of their story and because of what they went through, we can learn. We can absorb from their story. We can see what leads to defeat. What led them to defeat, it leads us to defeat as well today. We can be like the man in the story, 38 years with crutches. I don't really want to get made well. I have to get to the pool first to get healing. I missed it again. I don't really want to get up. I don't really want to try. I don't really want to get up early today. I don't really want to do this. How many of us know? How many of us have ever talked about losing weight, but then we don't ever exercise or diet? We as people, we love to talk. But it's not in the talking that makes us who we are. It's in our actions. And it's in our actions this morning. And it's in their actions that we learn from how not to live a defeated life. But we see the keys to living a life of victory. That it starts by believing. It starts by waiting on the directions of God. It starts by listening and knowing how to hear the word of God. It's one thing he left out there. There's a lot of things in life we have to fight through. But the thing that God put us here to do is to fight the good fight. Apostle Paul, speaking to Timothy, he said, fight the good fight. It wasn't put up your dukes, baby. That sounds good. There's one thing that these men and women who do get to that spot of success, you know, in athletics, there's one thing that every successful athlete gets. Yes, may have been born with some physical talent and ability and strength, but they still had to work their butt off to get there. They had to put in a lot of sleepless nights to work, to stay up late, to study, to look at different things and how to improve and get better. Successful people all get the mindset. It takes learning how to fail and get back up again. Apostle Paul speaking to Timothy when he said, fight the good fight. It wasn't just fighting people, but he was saying, you must fight for everything God has for you. He understood as a man, Apostle Paul was a crazy individual who was born blessed, a good life, good family, good schooling, the best of the best schooling. He became a trained person in the ways of the law, the first five books of the Bible. But he was so radical, Apostle Paul. He was so radical in the way that he was brought up and trained that he thought when he heard of Jesus' followers, he wanted to kill him. And he thought that he was doing God a service when he heard about Christians. If I kill these people, I'm doing God a service. And so Apostle Paul set out to arrest Christians and to kill them. His name was Saul, and then became Paul. Because God knocked him off his high horse. Because God had to knock Saul off his high horse so that he could see he wasn't Saul, he was Paul. He was a man who had a heart, who maybe was trained improperly growing up in life. And he says these words to Timothy, going through a hard life, going through getting beat. He was beat. He was willing. He gave up every single thing in his former life. He gave up every single thing in the way that he used to be. He gave up all his money, his wealth, and his status and who he was. Because he says, you know what? Everything that I had up this point is rubbish. Now that I know Jesus Christ, and you can beat me, and he was. You can stone me where they took rocks and tried to kill him by throwing large rocks at him, and he lived. Paul was beat up a number of times and whipped. And you know what he did? He kept on going. Where do we get most of the New Testament from? A man named Paul, who used to be Saul. Why? Because he kept on going. Because he kept on fighting. Our world today, they need believers who are going to keep on fighting. I'm going to keep on fighting the good fight. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to fall down, but I'm going to get back up. And I'm going to keep on fighting. I'm going to keep on chugging. I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to keep on moving. Because God has put me here to be a light in a dark world. God's put me here. I don't have to sound the same. I don't have to look the same. I don't have to dress the same. I just need to be me. I need to be who God made me to be. We need to be who God has made us to be, to continue to fight the good fight every single day. God made the place of promise for the Jewish community, and they had to fight to get it. They had to fight once they were there. And then there were so many things they had to fight through to stay there. There's a fight to stay in the life of blessing. You know, Deuteronomy 28 says this, if you fully obey the Lord your God, if you fully obey the Lord your God, carefully keep all his commands that I'm giving you today, the Lord God will set you high above the nations of the world. You'll experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. Your towns, your fields will be blessed. Your children, your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. Your fruit baskets and breadboards will be blessed. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you will be blessed. And so there's two things that as we end our thought and series through the wilderness. Through the wilderness, what is the number one biggest thing they had to learn? Stop looking back. Stop looking back. We have to get out of our minds yesteryear. We've had a lot of good years. We've had a lot of good days. There's been a lot of good songs. There's been a lot of good movies yesteryear. But you know what? We're not living yesteryear. We're living today. We're living in 2024. And God needs us to be present in the moment that we're alive in. God needs us to be present in this moment. There was a man and his wife in the Old Testament. Their town or their city was burned up with fire from heaven. And as they exited the city, God saved them. He spared him, his wife, their daughters. But their one instruction he gave them as they left, don't look back. And as they got out of town, as they climbed up a hill, the wife, for whatever reason, what'd she do? There goes my home. I left my kitty cat, I left my dog, I left my suitcase, I left my favorite dress. She looked back and she became a pillar of salt. One of the things in 39 years over and over again that God had to teach the Jewish people, stop looking back. You need to look ahead. I don't know how many years and days I have left. I don't know how many years and days you have left. But what I do know that this world is in the hands of God. That this world, our life, are in the hands of God. And while we're here and while we're alive, there's still work that needs to be done. And if I keep looking back who I used to be, who I used to be with, if I keep looking back the things that I used to like, man, when I was a kid, I used to drink Mountain Dew every single day. I can't do that anymore. And now it's coffee, but it's only half the day. But as a kid, I loved Mountain Dew. These bodies, as we've learned, the older you get, you just can't do what you did as a little kid. Things happen and things change. If you continue to drink a 44-ounce big gulp of Mountain Dew every day into your 40s, 30s. Life progresses. Life advances. But for some reason, for humanity, many of us get so stuck in looking back. The good days, the good old times. And you know what's funny? The good old days and times, we think it looks nice and pretty like this, but honestly, it's really like this. If you can change your perspective this morning to see that what you keep looking back to, it's nothing but a dumpy shack. It's not there. It's not what it used to be. Look ahead to what God has for you. Look for his best. Paul said it to Timothy like this. Keep fighting the good fight. Every day you wake up, it's going to be a battle today. It may be a small battle, maybe a big battle. But whatever I face today, God, I pray you go with me. I pray, God, you help me. God, show me that when I help and when I bump into somebody else, if they're going through a battle, give me something to give to them. God, help me today, no matter what I face. Isaiah 43:18. Forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. God says, I'm doing a new thing. And the problem is, in doing a new thing, sometimes we can't see the new thing because we're stuck on the old thing. I can't see what God wants to do. I can't see what he's saying. I can't hear it because I'm so stuck on yesteryear. God's doing a new thing. When you give your life to Jesus, what? We're a new thing. When you give your life to Jesus, we become what? New creations. New. Forget your former things. Don't dwell on the past. I'm doing a new thing. Paul puts it this way, Philippians 3:13. Brothers and sisters, put up your dukes. I've not achieved it yet, but I focus on one thing. I forget the past, and I look forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize in God through Christ Jesus, which is calling us. I do one thing, forget the past. If this man who penned most of the New Testament, what is the one thing he wants to leave us with? He says he focuses on one thing. What? Forgetting the past. How much of our past is still alive in our present? How many thoughts, scars, wounds, tragedies, mistakes, guilts, shame, still right here in the present? And what did God say through Isaiah? Stop dwelling on your past because I want to do a new thing. Get out of the wilderness. How do I get out of the wilderness? Stop looking back. God, I'm here in the present. God, I'm here in the moment. God, lead me forward. And secondly, as they leave the wilderness, they get in the promised land. What did they need to remind themselves of? Watch out. There's a lot of temptation everywhere. Watch out. There's a lot of temptation. They got into the promised land. But you know what happened? Man, look at our neighbors. They're worshiping that statue over there. That looks like fun. They're worshiping and they're dancing to that statue over there. You know, God hasn't talk to me for a little bit. God hasn't answered me. God hasn't done this. I'm lonely. I'm depressed right now. It looks like they have it all together. Every single time the Jewish people going forward into the promised land got enticed by somebody else, what happened? They went back into slavery. They got beat up by another king. Their lives were destroyed. Why? Because they kept allowing their neighbors to entice them. Our world, it's beautiful. It's amazing. And there's a lot of distractions that we can get caught up in. God has not put us here to get caught up in all the hype and the hoop and the distractions. What did he say? What did Paul say? We walk by faith and not by what I see. Our faith has to determine our steps, and our faith has to determine our sight. You know, for people in a relationship, for people who are married, sometimes living married means you live looking and viewing people, humanity, different, right? Do you want to be married to somebody who's constantly looking around at other people, other girls, other guys? What are you looking at? Oh, there was a dog running right there. Your sight, your view, and what you watch, it is a big deal in what you look at every single day. Watch what entices you. Because once they got to the place of promise, it was the enticement that caused them to lose everything they gained. The enticement, the place of promise. James 1:14 says, temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us, that drag us away. Desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. Don't be misled, dear brothers and sisters. Proverbs 1:10, if sinners entice you, turn your back on them. If sinners entice you, turn your back on them. And I close with this verse, Psalms 1. One of the greatest Psalms. Psalms 1, starting in verse 1. It says, the joys of those who don't follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. And the writer of Psalms, going back to the time this was written, he described three different levels of interaction with people. Those who follow the advice of the wicked, those who stand around with them, and then they finally what? Join in with them. They follow, they listen, then they stand, and then they join right in. But they who delight in the law of the Lord, they who read and meditate on the Bible day and night, they're like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit. There it is again, bearing fruit at the right time. The leaves never wither. They prosper in all they do, but not the wicked. They're like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They'll be condemned at the end of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly. For the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. And so this morning, as we wrap up, my title is called Fixer Upper. Fixer Upper. And one of the tragedies in life is feeling like we live like this, but really inside we look like this. God, when he picked a king for Israel, he was telling a prophet, I don't look at the outward appearance. What I look at? I look at your heart. You know, that video that I showed, one of the things that I love that he said is, you know, every successful person has to learn a couple things. I got to work hard. I got to be disciplined. But one of the one things that he said I have to learn how to, I need to discipline my emotions, my thoughts. Because how many of us know we can let emotions get out of control, get angry, say something we shouldn't say. We can be frustrated, and those lead to words that we shouldn't say. Anger, frustration. We have to learn, if I'm going to be and live in the place of blessing, I have to learn to discipline even myself, my actions, my words, my thoughts, and my emotions. Philippians 2 says this, and I promise this is my last verse. I said, no, the last one was my last one, but this is my last one. Philippians 2:12, dear friends, you've always followed the instructions when I was with you. Now that I'm away, it's even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. Work hard to show the results of your salvation. What's the results of our salvation? Do our results of salvation, of asking Jesus into our life, look like this? A building. A structure that's what? Falling apart. Jesus said, people who hear my word and follow are people who are strong. But people who ignore my word, what are they? They're buildings that are going to be blown away. They're falling apart. Fixer upper. And at the end of the day, the Jewish community, they got into a land. They got into a place. The land was perfect, but you know who wasn't? They weren't. How many people do we know say, I just got to move out of California. Everything's going to be okay. But you know what happens? Problems follow them everywhere they go. Oh, I just got to get out of this marriage. Everything will be okay. I just got to get out of this job. Everything will be what? Okay. We're always thinking, I got to get to a different place. I got to get to a different space. I got to get to a different person. Why? Because we're thinking, it's when I get to somewhere new, everything's going to be okay. But all the time we forget, who's the true fixer-upper? I'm the true fixer-upper. I need fixing. I'm broken. And we all are. What did Paul say? Work out your own salvation, not anybody else's. Sometimes we can be so worried and consumed about what other people need fixing when God's saying, you have plenty to work on yourself. Plenty. And some of us have more than others, right? But we're not going to go there. Work out your own salvation and the results. The greatest thing is that there's good news always at the end of the day. Because no matter what they went through, no matter how many times they failed, you know what happened? God forgave them, and they got back up again. God forgave them, and they got back up again. God forgave them, and they got back up again. And no matter my beginning text, and I used that story in the beginning because there was a man who struggled for 38 years. But in one meeting with Jesus Christ, he became a new man. And no matter what we're going through, no matter what our friends and family, coworkers are going through, no matter what anyone else on the planet is going through, there's always good news. Always good news in Jesus Christ. He breaks the pattern. He breaks the cycle. He breaks the sickness. He breaks the insanity. He breaks the suicidal thoughts. Jesus is everything when we allow him to be. Let's pray.